Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like.
Song. We're going to continue in the book of Romans, in the first chapter in verse 8. We're going to look at Paul's thanksgiving and prayer this morning. So if you'd like to turn over to Romans chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 8. Paul tells us these words. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. How incredible these words are as we consider that the way in which these Roman believers received the grace of God in faith, and they continue to walk in the pattern of Jesus Christ and the gospel, that a testimony went out to the entire world. This is the model of what we're trying to do. What a better example could you find than this? And this is what we're shooting for. We want to be this church that when others look at the Main Street Church of Christ, they say these people are serving God with all of their heart, totally surrendered. And so once more, let's look at these words a little closer in verse 8. Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. This is the pattern for Paul's writings. For example, we find almost identical language in Paul's letters to the Ephesians and to the Colossians. When Paul hears that a people have received the grace of God in faith and are continuing in it, number one, there is a spirit of thanksgiving that wells up within him towards God. What joy it is to see people added to the church and growing in their faith. There's nothing like it. And to the Colossians, Paul writes these words in Colossians 1:3. He says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. And so as I was preparing this lesson, considering these precious words from the Apostle Paul, I had to pause and to put this into practice myself and go through the different members of this congregation and simply give thanksgiving and praise for the precious congregation that we have. And for example, I know Brother Eric wouldn't mind me using him as an example. I went through a list, and I just thank God. What a friend Brother Eric has been for the past 6 years. What an encouragement. What a man of faith. What a pillar in this congregation. A man who believes in the authority of Scripture. So many times God has used him to encourage me. And as I went through the list of the different members in this congregation, what an uplifting experience this was to return to God thanksgiving and praise for the family that God has given us. And so we want to thank God for all that he has done in sending different people to this congregation. And so consider this, why would the Lord send us more brothers and sisters in Christ if we're not thankful for the ones that God has already given us? And if we're not striving for spiritual growth within the body currently, why should we expect God to enlarge this body? And so on the flip side, the great sin of Israel in the wilderness was that they grumbled against the Lord. They completely lacked this spirit of thanksgiving, but they complained. Though the Lord had done wondrous things for them. Though he had delivered them from slavery with an outstretched arm, though he had revealed his glory to them and fed them with bread from heaven and with manna, they grumbled and they complained against the Lord. And because of this, the wrath of the Lord was kindled, and he swore that these people are not going to enter my rest. They're not going to enter the promised land. And so, doesn't this make sense from our own experience? Who likes to spend time with people who complain? There's nothing worse than spending time or being trapped in a car with someone who is has this bitter spirit and is complaining. If you don't know this, give this a try. James says these words in the third chapter in verse 7 and following, speaking along these lines. He says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." And so James points out that we can't both curse men, we can't speak bitterness out of our mouth and praise at the same time. And Jesus, I think in a deeper way, in Luke chapter 6, shows us into the deep recesses of the heart when he says these words in Luke 6:45. He says, "The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good, and the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." And so as we examine this mighty apostle, as we look at Paul, we see that he is full of good treasure and praise and thanksgiving, and from the heart, he returns this thanksgiving back to God. And so I hope this morning that you are willing to test your heart. What is coming out of the spring of your heart? Is it salt water or is it fresh water? And so the Lord desires truth in the secret place of our heart. Worship and praise have a way of driving out negative thoughts and cleansing our hearts. Light and darkness cannot dwell together. Also, I want you to see that when you give thanks to God for those who are walking in the faith, we remember all that the Lord has done in the past, all that he is doing, and all that he will do in the future. When I thank God in prayer for what God has done in lifting Brother Kenneth off the streets, and making him a minister of the gospel, and placing his word within his heart like a fire, I am remembering the mighty works of God in our midst. I am remembering what he is doing, and with joy I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in the future. The spirit of thanksgiving is opposite to that of grumbling and complaining, which marked Israel during their wilderness wanderings. If Israel had have been thankful, surely that generation would not have been destroyed in the wilderness, but would have made it to the promised land. So too for Christians, as we are in the wilderness right now, as we are marching towards heaven, thanksgiving and worship are mighty weapons against the different struggles that we face as we are headed towards this eternal rest. If you want to go to heaven, you must be born again. You must receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a spring of living water welling up within us. And it is a spring of endless praise and gratitude to the Creator. And so consider this question. How does Paul endure the spiritual struggles of 100 men? How does Paul endure all the different hardships? And he did not do it with a resentful spirit. There are so many ministers who begin to resent the church. This is the number one of the number one causes for burnout. Instead of thanking God for the body of Christ, they begin to have this bitter root within them, which is the complete opposite of what we see in the Apostle Paul. And so this principle is ever so true, that people who complain are miserable inside, but those who praise God, their spirit is light and full of joy. There is a liberty and a freedom about them. Thankfulness gives way to such personal happiness and contentment, but still greater, it pleases God and makes His heart glad. Who is the one who gives us all good things and is deserving of thanksgiving? And so I've made this observation in our homeless ministry. We meet with people who have suffered things that words simply cannot express. Horror and atrocity and all kinds of awful challenges that people have been through. And there seem to be two classes of people. One class has been liberated in Jesus and praises Him in the midst of hardships and sufferings, and even though they've faced agony throughout their life. But there is another class of people who are enslaved by their circumstances. They are enslaved by self-pity and bitterness and anger, and they're ungrateful to God because of the things that have happened to them in their life. And so I hope this morning that we might all reflect and that the Spirit of God might liberate us from grumbling and complaining, and that we might be set free in order that we might have a spirit of thanksgiving. If anyone had the right to grumble, it was the Apostle Paul, a man tortured and deprived for the sake of Christ. Yet he practiced continual thanksgiving. And so this is the same man that we read about who, being imprisoned in Philippi, he worshiped and praised God at midnight. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 gives us the account. We read, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And so there's some here this morning who have experienced being in prison before, and you can testify that this is not the norm for people to be singing and praising God in prison. In fact, the norm is for people to be angry and bitter and to be filled with evil. But you see, Paul was worshiping God even in this darkest of situations. And so Paul understood that in this affliction, he was to have the joy of the Lord. And so if you have the joy of the Lord in your heart, your circumstances will not control you. Your trials cannot keep you from worshiping and praising and being thankful towards God. Look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. He says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." And so notice here that we are in a crooked and twisted generation. It is a world that is broken. It is unfair. It is full of suffering. And it is in this world that we as Christians are called to do all things without complaining. And based on our text this morning, it is evident that we are to do all things with a worshipful, thankful spirit of praise. And so in Romans chapter 1, verse 9, once more, we read, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers." And so we've noted that Paul is a man of thanksgiving, and oh, that we should pray that God would make us these people. But also notice that he is a man of continual intercession and prayer. Though Paul is a scholar of scholars, he is a man of great learning. He has been appointed by Jesus Christ himself. He serves as an apostle, the highest of all offices in the church. As distinguished and gifted as this man is, we see the source of Paul's success. We see by Paul's behavior the extreme importance which he places upon prayer. Not only does Paul give thanksgiving for the Christians in Rome, but he intercedes for them without ceasing. This must not be overlooked in our modern times. If we would reap a harvest with Paul and bring many souls to Christ, we must pay ever so close attention to the process of planting and watering and cultivating, which will necessarily ensure the harvest. If we see in the scriptures Paul was a mighty man of prayer, and then we look at our own life and we see that prayer is challenging and that it's a struggle, there you go. There's your problem. We need to learn to pray. Consider this. Parents who neglect their children, they have no right to complain if they're unruly and spoiled. Likewise, the man or woman of God who does not pray for the church has no right to complain about its sickness. You might say you're too busy. Well, I can tell you this, you're not busier than Paul, and you're most definitely not busier than Jesus, who during his earthly ministry made a practice of withdrawing to secret places in order that he might pray. What on earth could be more exciting than meeting God Almighty in prayer? And friend, so many times I don't think that we understand the power of prayer. James 5:16. James tells us the following. He says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, and you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a like nature as ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit." Prayer is the most powerful force in the universe. Paul's ministry is modeled after the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a man of prayer. And if the modern church is to experience any sort of spiritual success, we must take seriously the Scripture's teaching in relation to prayer. If we're going to bear fruit, we're going to have to pattern ourselves after Jesus and the Apostle Paul. There is so much busyness today, so many distractions, even good things. There are so many opportunities to serve, and many times we are like Martha, and we miss what God is doing. We miss God who is right in front of us. We in our nation are currently under the judgment of God. Church attendance, without a doubt, has got to be at an all-time low, and there is an immorality and spirit of rebellion, the likes of which the Western world has never seen. And in this awful hour of testing, the church must be alert. We must take up this mighty weapon of prayer when we see the powers of evil coming in like a flood. And maybe you think to yourself, how do we stand in such an evil day? And where is the power of God? I would submit to you, based on the Scriptures, it is in the place of prayer. I am convinced that prayer shapes history. Prayer has more to do with the future of our nation than any single influence that we could conjure up. The future and success of this church, the Main Street Church of Christ, and our surrounding neighborhood rest upon the influence of intercession. And so, what is the future of this community going to look like? Is it going to be full of nightclubs and broken families and children who do not know the love of the Savior? Or will the people of God lay hold of the power of God through prayer? Will they rise up and will they seek the face of God in prayer? And will the salt influence the meat, as we read about in the Gospels? And so if you give us one Epaphras, you can have all the money in the world. Epaphras is this mighty prayer warrior that we read about in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. And so this is what Paul is doing. He is wrestling. He is interceding for the maturity and the growth of the Roman church. And this is the very same activity that we are to be engaged in on a continual, consistent basis. We are engaged in a heavenly war of spiritual powers. And you cannot bring a knife to a gunfight, let alone a nuclear war. We must meet the power of the enemy with equal authority and power, and this only comes with meeting with the living God. We must draw near to the Almighty in prayer, who has sufficient strength that we might overcome our Goliaths through his name. Let us look at a few scriptures. Ephesians 6:11, that great chapter of spiritual warfare. In verse 18, Paul says these words, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that the word may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I might declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And so we As Paul has indicated, we need to be making intercession at all times for the saints. We need to be praying for the ministers of this congregation. I plead with you that you might pray for me, that I might open my mouth boldly and declare the word of God as it ought to be preached. I appeal to you to pray for our outreach ministry during the week, Brother Kenneth and Brother Jimmy, as they teach the homeless throughout the week, that you would intercede for them and pray that God would powerfully bless their labor. If we don't pray for them, should we expect God to bless that ministry? I think not. Colossians 4:2 gives us more ammunition here. The Bible says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And what a summary this is of our text this morning. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And then we have a beautiful picture as it is shown to us in the book of Acts. The early disciples, as Jesus has ascended to the Father, he has told them to wait in Jerusalem for the outpouring of the Spirit. They're waiting for the gifts that are going to be given on Pentecost. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, the disciples are in the upper room, and look at the picture that we see here. All these were with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brothers. What a picture this is of the early meetings and gatherings of this primitive church as they devoted themselves to prayer. And so the early church would have no concept of our meeting for an hour once a week. That would be a very strange and foreign concept to them, for they were devoted to prayer on a regular basis. And I want to ask you this question. How do you think a marriage would do if a couple spent only an hour once a week? Do you think that marriage would be healthy? Do you think that you could sustain that type of relationship? Do you think that you can put 1 gallon of gas into your tank and drive all the way to California and back? In the same way, if we are to maintain the spiritual life and power which is necessary for personal and collective growth, we need much prayer. We need this continual prayer which we're reading about this morning in the Scripture. And so, this morning, if your household is out of divine order, take it to the Lord. Call on His name. To the mothers and to the fathers, your greatest obstacles are solved in prayer. To the preacher, God is the solution to your greatest needs. We can find an answer to the greatest problems that we have on our knees before the throne of God. God places things upon our shoulders that we cannot bear. He does this in order that we might cry out for His help and for His deliverance, that He might fix the problem and receive all the glory. The problem is, as James tells us in the 4th chapter of his book, in the 2nd verse, you have not because you ask not. And so we get a picture here of Paul's pattern of prayer. We have an idea of what Paul would have prayed based on his letters to the Ephesians and to the Colossians. We get an idea of what this intercession looked like, this continual prayer. I want to look at Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 9 through 14, and read this prayer in order that we might understand what it is that Paul is praying for these Roman Christians. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. This is Paul's prayer. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What an amazing prayer. What heavy and dense, spiritually dense words these are. I would encourage each one of you to find Paul's prayers as they're listed in Ephesians and as they're listed here in Colossians, and to pray through these prayers. Pray for your family. Pray for this congregation and how exciting it is to watch spiritual growth take place before us. I think in the same lines of Paul's use of agricultural language, it's helpful to me if I think about my garden. I planted some lettuce at the beginning of this year, and for the longest time, that lettuce was so small. And I thought, this will never develop. It's never going to mature. But sure enough, as I pulled the weeds, as I watered, as I was patient, today I've got some nice, healthy-looking lettuce, and it's just so much fun, and I enjoy that. But how much more as we take up this call to continual prayer and intercession, as we understand something of the might and power of God as expressed through James, through the prayers of a righteous man, they are powerful and effective. As we pray for this congregation, how exciting as we watch little by little this congregation grow in depth and maturity and in numbers. And I would challenge each one of you to take up this call and to pray for our ministries, for our Sunday morning service, that God would bless this time in incredible ways, that He would bless the ministry throughout the week, that He would bless our radio programs and the different ministries that we serve in. And God will surely answer those prayers. And so this morning, if you are not a Christian, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Jesus Christ came into this sinful and broken world, and He spilled His precious blood for you and me in order that we might have atonement, that we might have forgiveness of sins. And our response is to believe Christ's work upon the cross. We are to repent. We are to turn away from serving ourselves and serving the devil. And we are to be baptized, to be immersed in water, washing our sins away, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, rising to newness of life, and walking the pattern of Jesus Christ all the days of our life. If this is your desire, there's no better time to come forward this morning. If there are any other prayers that you have, I would appeal to you to come forward as we stand and sing our invitational song.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true.
You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray that this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at this same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast times. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. With the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas, check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.